You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast. It's me, your host, Rebecca Henson, and welcome back to another episode. Today's episode is going to be just me chatting about some new things. You're going to learn some things about me today. You're also going to learn some things about the medical world as we know it today and how it got to the place where it is today, because this is some information that I recently learned and was kind of blown away. So I think you're going to find that quite interesting once I get to that. But we're just going to talk about some different fun things and learn a little bit about me, because I realized that I have not done a podcast telling my story. In some of my interviews with other interviewees, I will kind of, you know, briefly just chat about something that happened or my story or whatever, but I haven't sat down and literally just like told y'all what happened and how I got to this place I am today. I did a podcast with my friend Maggie Greiner on her podcast, The Kind Kitchen. So you should go listen to her podcast. It's amazing. And she is amazing. But that was really the only time that I've talked about my story. So that's what we're going to do today. Because like most people, I did not get here overnight. It was a slow process of learning and learning more and then becoming hungry for learning more and just like more. I just wanted more knowledge. Like I obviously, well, not obviously, but I was trying to heal myself because I got sick. So we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But before that, I'm just going to talk about some current events. Actually, they're not really that current. I mean, they are. Okay, so last week I did a wellness event with my friend Ann Miller, who owns the Modern Apothecary downtown, and it was so much fun, and I met some really great people, so thank you for everyone who came out. It was a great turnout. However, I will say that I think it would have been an even greater turnout maybe if it had been even in September. August is just a weird month. It's my birthday's in August, and this is why I know this all too well, because when I was younger and I would try to set up, you know, like a birthday party, everybody would be out of town because it's like right before school starts or everybody's getting ready for school. And that was just really frustrating as a child. And I love being a Leo and an August baby. I think it's one of the greatest months of the world. Obviously, I'm biased, but that was definitely a struggle as a kid. And so, yeah, I think that we probably would have had like tripled the turnout, maybe even definitely double if it had been maybe in September or something like that. But we'll definitely have another one. So, you know, keep an eye on my Instagram for when I will post about that. But I had a lot of fun treats. So my idea behind, you know, being there was I offered a bunch of plant-based treats that I make that are also on my website, and just talking to people about plant-based nutrition. So I had some really great conversations with people who were already kind of wanting to eat more plants or wanting to go plant-based. And so they had some really great questions. And I've already gotten some of them who have reached out to me from that. So it's always really fun to talk about with anyone because I'm so passionate about it. But as far as the food goes, it was a hit. Oh my gosh. So one of the things that I made was barbecue jackfruit sliders. My barbecue jackfruit recipe is on my website. I have not done the sweet potato part. So basically what I did was I made my jackfruit barbecue, which the secret to making the best jackfruit barbecue is the slow simmer. Slow simmer it. You slow simmer the jackfruit with your barbecue sauce and it just becomes the most tender, magical, like mouth-watering barbecue jackfruit that no matter what your what kind of, you know, diet you prescribe to, whether it's paleo or vegan, whatever, you'll be obsessed, I promise. Like, you will definitely be able to attract any type of taste buds. So I did that, and then I put them on sweet potatoes that I had roasted. So I cut them like chip shape, you know, round. I made them like, I don't know, like a fifth or a fourth of an inch, maybe a fifth of an inch thick, because they will, you know, get a little smaller when they bake. But anyways, those were delicious. I made a carrot cake, and my chickpea tuna salad, which is on my website as well. And I also offered printouts of my avocado chocolate mousse, which is a secret recipe. So if you would like that secret recipe and you're listening, you can sign up for my newsletter. So I am doing it so people who sign up for my newsletter, I don't bombard you with emails because I know how annoying that is, but I do provide you with some secret recipes every month. So the first email that you'll get when you sign up is going to be my avocado chocolate mousse, which, like I said, is a fan favorite and secret recipe that is not on my website and will never be on my website. It's only if you sign up for my newsletter. And then every month I will send you other recipes that are secret. So definitely go and sign up for that. But it was a great time. It was a really fun time. The people who were there, the ladies who were there, I mean, the energy there was amazing. And just really awesome people who were trying to, who want to help others. Like, I mean, who doesn't want to surround themselves with these caring, compassionate, and passionate human beings who just are just amazing. I'm so thankful for this community and all the people that I've met here. But I would never have gotten here if I had not gotten sick. So how are we going to talk about that? We're going to talk about that. So background is that I have been healthy, so I thought, for my whole life. And I'd say I kind of thought that I was, you know, semi-invincible. This could be a little bit of, you know, the way I thought. And then also just when I was in my 20s, I think it can often, you can often feel that way because your own mortality seems so foreign and distant that you just feel like you're going to be super person forever and that you're never going to grow old and you're never going to get sick. Well, that came crashing down for me when I was around 28. But yeah, so prior to that, I was never sick. I didn't really get colds that often. I mean, honestly, through college, I can't remember being sick like one time, maybe once. Maybe one time in college. When I was in grade school, I did get more often. I was sick. I had strep throat a couple times, or maybe more than that. And they would put me on antibiotics. So I was on antibiotics quite a few times, which if you listen to my podcast about the microbiome, or if you know much about that at all, you know that antibiotics absolutely decimate your microbiome. So unless you are trying to recolonize and repopulate your microbiome after you take antibiotics, then you can be sure that it's going to be compromised. And if you're not trying to fix it, it's going to stay compromised. Which at that point, you know, I don't even think probiotics were not even a thing, right? So because the microbiome, the study of the microbiome is new. It started in like 2006. That whole word actually was not even coined until 2006. So yeah, I mean, in the 90s, nobody knew. I mean, if there were people that knew, they were few and far between and they weren't anybody that I knew. So I was on antibiotics, and then in high school, I got on antibiotics as a precautionary measure for acne that I didn't really even have, but my doctor at that time, my dermatologist at that time, was definitely old school, and he put me on tetracycline, I think, for like 4 years. So yeah. So then I go to college and I want to get off the antibiotic because I'm like, oh my gosh, I am this old, like I can be off of antibiotics, like I shouldn't have acne anymore. Well, then my acne flared up, and it was like cystic acne. And so then I was like, well, maybe it's hormones. I should, you know, go to a doctor about that. And at that time, which doctors still do this now, you need to find a doctor who doesn't do this, but they just put you on birth control. So I was on birth control, which didn't even really help it that much. Okay, so I was on birth control for like 7 years. Didn't really do much for the acne. I mean, it was mildly. But, of course, it made your periods like non-existent because your body thinks that you're pregnant the entire time. So there's that, which is certainly not good for anything, which I have a lady coming on to talk about the negatives of birth control in a couple weeks. That's going to be a very interesting podcast episode. But so, yes, at 28, I start seeing some blood in my stool. Of course, I am under this impression that talking about poop or poop is gross, and girls don't poop, right? I mean, duh. No, they do. I can't believe I just said that on recorded. Yeah. It's not rainbows and unicorns. But it was taboo to talk about at that time, you know? And I had also, I think, been embarrassed even more about it because I had this boyfriend when I was younger who would literally try to catch me pooping. Like, this is how, and so then it would really mess with my mind. And I'm like, no, I don't do that. I mean, I think at that point he was really just like amazed. And he's like, what is going on? But then it really messed with my head because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know. I mean, that was just not, it was not healthy, and that relationship wasn't healthy either. So months go by that I'm having these symptoms, and I didn't tell Derek, who is my now husband, about it because I was embarrassed, but it didn't get better, and I had to finally tell my mom. So I went home so I could have a colonoscopy. I didn't tell Derek, who was my boyfriend at the time, and it comes back that I had ulcerative colitis. Props to that doctor, though. She was really awesome in that she did not freak out and tell me that this was the end of the world. She really was like, well, you know, this can go away. Like, this can go away and you can never have it again. And what did I do? What any 21st century person does, they go on Google. So I Googled that shit. And what did I find? Like, the most horrific things ever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why did she act so nonchalant about this? This sounds terrible. This is into my life. This is awful. Like, my life is over. I mean, I just read, obviously, the most horrible things. And if you Google ulcerative colitis right now, you will find terrible, terrible information about that. So I tried different drugs. She put me on a couple different things. I can't even remember what they were, but they didn't make any of my symptoms better. So I started doing some research, and the first thing I came about was gluten-free. So I tried the gluten-free diet. However, I was not diligent about that. I was not. It was difficult, and I, at that time, I was not under this impression that, you know, oh, just a little bite's fine. Just a little bite. Well, now I know that when you're trying to heal your body, you can't just have a little bite of anything that's going to be bad for you. It's like opening up a scab. It's like opening up a wound. If you're trying to heal, you don't want to put any of those toxins in your body, anything that's inflammatory. So what I know now, which I've talked about, I think, previously on a couple other podcasts, was that, you know, I don't think that gluten-free is the answer for everyone. However, for me, what I know now is that it's not the gluten that's causing the problems for most people. I mean, celiac is a whole different thing. But if you don't have celiac, it's not the gluten that's the problem. It's the glyphosate. Glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, and that is what's used on wheat in America. It's not used in other countries. So that's why people can go over to Europe and have pasta and bread, and they have no reaction. But so yeah, if you're curious about that, just try to get organic bread, you know? I mean, I think if you eat, I mean, I've eaten organic bread and I've eaten organic wheat things. I don't do it often, but I have no reaction. However, when I've had avocado toast that was on this really nice local bakery, it was not organic. I had inflammation in my knee that was 2 days long, and it was the most bizarre. It was an inflammation and a pain that I've never had before. It was absolute 100% from that avocado toast. So I think that some people might just be more sensitive to it. But however, I will say that I think even if you don't have a reaction or some type of symptom that's right away, it doesn't mean that it's not doing harm to you, because I mean, I should do a whole podcast on glyphosate. Glyphosate literally breaks down the gut lining barrier of your intestines, and that will cause leaky gut, and that can cause allergic reactions. It can cause all kinds of things that maybe they don't manifest in your GI tract, but they could be absolutely connected to the glyphosate. And over time, it's going to be bad for your body, because you're just, I mean, who wants to ingest chemicals? I don't. And our bodies don't either, because they don't know what the heck to do with it. So back to my story. So I went gluten-free, and I mean, this is kind of, I mean, it all seems like a blur now anyways. But I wasn't getting better, you know? I tried different diets. I tried the paleo diet, which I will get to that, a little bit later, but I was doing tons of research. You know, I was researching about food and other people who had healed. And I found something called an FMT, which is a fecal microbial transplant, which I still feel is one of the most amazing things ever and can help so many different ailments. But in America, because I guess you can't make a lot of money off of these things, or it could be because pharmaceuticals companies don't want you to be able to heal yourself. It is not allowed. It's only allowed for C. diff patients. And that's only if you have gone through literally every other avenue, which makes no sense. I'm about to get upset about this because it makes no sense. Literally an FMT could completely fix C. diff. Ugh, I can't even talk because I'm getting so excited. Could completely fix C. diff. However, they make all these patients take all these different drugs and antibiotics, which actually is kind of the reason why you probably will even get C. diff, is because it's from an imbalance. Like this FMT would help all C. diff patients, but no, you have to go jump through every little hoop, all the drugs first, and then you can take that. So, but for my ailment, which it could help, the government, you know, medical community does not perform this procedure. Also, if they do, they put you under for it, which is totally unnecessary, which I'm going to talk about that because I had them done in England. And did they put me under? No, it's not necessary. But of course, that's a money thing, because then they can charge $10,000 for it because of the anesthesia. So, you know, they make it into this big procedure that it's really not. But I mean, there's probably multiple things that could be going on there. You know, people might be weirded out by it, but I really think it's a money issue. But anyway, so I fly to England with my husband, and we're there for over a week. This amazing, we're in Bristol, England, which Bristol is pretty much one of the medical hub of England. So there's lots of different treatment facilities and the top of the top doctors and physicians and naturopaths and any type of healing, community, medical community. So I find this lovely lady, Allison, who has her own clinic. And I mean, the whole week, I mean, although I was in a lot of pain and it was really a scary time for me, I could not imagine like a better scenario, because we had a little VRBO that was right next to her clinic, which was her house. Like, she had it separate. It was like her house and then her clinic was like connected. And so I would just like walk right over. We would have our sessions, and it really was a beautiful experience looking back, you know. And it really, I learned so much. I mean, we would have these like therapy sessions at the beginning which, I mean, prior to that, I had kind of discounted, I think, the emotional side of my disease or any disease. I had not really connected that. And now I'm certainly a huge proponent of the mind and spirit side of any illness. But yeah, prior to that, I had not really thought about that. So she, I mean, we would spend like an hour, you know, 45 minutes talking about, you know, my childhood or stress triggers, you know, just what was going on in my life. And this is also why I think that everybody should go to therapy and that it's so helpful. But so we would do that. And then I would do an FMT pretty much every day. It was not scary. It was not painful. It was kind of like, which you might have never had a colonic, but if you have had a colonic, it's basically like that. So the idea is that she would get stool from someone who is really healthy, and there is really strict criteria of whose poop you can use, or, you know, the donors. One of the stipulations is that they can't have been on antibiotics for X amount of time. I don't know if it's 5 years or it might not even be that long, but you know, they have not been on antibiotics in an extended period of time. So that's one of the things. They also look at their diet. They also look at their BMI, like their body mass index. So, I can tell y'all a side story about that, which is crazy, which definitely shows the impact of our microbiome on our weight. But so they look at all those things and then look at, I think, I'm not sure if they look at the bacteria, you know, and how healthy the participant's bacteria is, but I would think so. So, yeah. So they get a very healthy person's stool who has really great diversity of bacteria, and they implant it into another person's. And it basically, that's how you can recolonize your intestines by somebody else's healthy poop. It's absolutely fascinating. So the story about that with the weight thing is that prior to this happened in England. So prior to them, really analyzing their participants, the donor's stool or their story or like all these kind of things. Someone had had an FMT. I'm not sure what her issue was, but she had an FMT. And this woman was like a normal size. She was just average size, you know. And after her FMT was done, the following weeks, she just started gaining weight. She started gaining weight. She was not doing anything different. And she became very large and had to go back to the doctor and was like, what the heck is happening? And it was discovered that the stool that she was given for her FMT came from a very large person. What, and this has happened in trials for mice as well. You can take an obese mouse, transplant their microbiome into a skinny or, you know, average size mouse, and that average size mouse will become obese or vice versa. So our microbiome dictates our weight. Isn't that just insane? But that can be changed. Yeah, and you don't have to have an FMT. I mean, I think that you know, if someone, really tries to alter their microbiome in a healthy way, sauerkraut, probiotics, eating healthy, you know, decreasing meat, not eating meat, eating more fiber, you can change that. So, you know, your weight is not, and your microbiome is not finite, you know, you can change that. So, that was my side story about my FMT, but it was really a lovely experience. But so I come back from England, and prior to England, I had my blood work done because, you know, why would I not want to check on everything, you know? And I had been losing a lot of blood. So we looked at the iron and the ferritin, and I sent it to two different doctors because I was kind of in between doctors because my insurance had changed. So the doctor who I had actually liked, I emailed it to her just for her to look over and just tell me if there was anything that stood out. Nothing stood out to her. Nothing. If anything, she suggested maybe take an iron supplement. So I come back from England and I'm on a sabbatical. I am not working, not much at least. I did actually take some work to England, some illustrative work. But I come back, and after maybe a month or two, I have these really strange, painful, they're not really lesions. They're just like bumps on my leg. They look just red. They just look red and inflamed, but they're so painful. I cannot walk, you know? And then I have this other thing on my knee. So it feels like a cyst on my knee, like my knee is inflamed in the joint. And I'm like, what is going on? So we go to a podiatrist. I think that's what it's called. Is that what it's called? Oh, gosh, I never know what the leg doctor is called. So we go to him, and oh my God, he sticks a big needle in my knee, which is my worst nightmare of my life. Just needles in general. And pulls out some fluid. I don't think they really found much there. You know, it's just like inflamed. I can't remember. But when we're leaving, they didn't really come up with any conclusion at that particular doctor visit. But my husband says, oh, she just had her blood work done at a Doc in the Box. So I just went and got some blood work done at a Doc in the Box. This is, like I said, after England. And he shows the results to this doctor. And the doctor looks at it and says, oh my gosh, y'all need to go to the emergency room, like, right now, like, today. Like, you can go home and get your stuff, but you need to go check yourself into the hospital. You could have a heart attack and die. Your ferritin is so low. Your iron is so low. Your ferritin is your iron storage. I had basically none, which means that I could have dropped dead and had a heart attack. I was 30 years old. You know, seemingly from the outside looked healthy, but my ferritin was deathly, deathly low. So we go to the hospital, and I was there for 2 or 3 nights. So backtrack, you know, to the FMT thing. I feel 100% sure that FMT would have been more effective. However, my ferritin and iron were so low that I was not getting any oxygen to any of my organs to repair. So even though the FMT went well, my ferritin was too low, and I had no idea. I was in England. I could have died on that travel. And, you know, at that point, I would get winded going up the stairs, you know, but like I said, this was just a slow, slow moving train that just, I didn't even realize how bad it was because it had, you know, gone downhill so slowly. So I could have died in England. So it was basically at that moment. Oh, also, gosh, I should have written notes for this, right? I had been paleo at that time. So when I ended up in the hospital, I was paleo. I was not vegan. I was not plant-based. I was eating bone broth. I was doing turkeys, chicken, whatever. I was doing this whole paleo thing. Paleo did not work. Did not work. So after the hospital, I said, I'm not doing that crap anymore. Like, I was already on the verge of, like, you know, not wanting to do it and feel, but wanted to heal. But I had seen all the documentaries about the animals, and being the animal lover I am, I'm not just a pet lover. So there's a difference. If you say you're an animal lover, but you still eat meat, you're a pet lover. You just love cats and dogs because that's just my opinion. But it does make sense, right? I mean, you can't say you're an animal lover, but then eat all the animals. It's not really... I love women, but I like to rape them. No, that doesn't go. So I decided then and there, basically, I was like, I am not doing this anymore. I'm going plant-based. I also had a friend who had Crohn's who was healed, and she was plant-based vegan. So I was like, well, I'm going to do this. And to my wonder... There was so much information about healing with plant-based, like way more, and scientific information. So it was not just some like person who likes to eat meat that's trying to say that it's good for you. It was literally studies for decades and decades and decades of it healing all these different illnesses, every illness possible. So I was like, well, I'm on the right track, right? And for me, morally, I was already, you know, really conflicted about eating meat in general after learning all I had about the animal agriculture business and the torture and pain that these animals are put through, and then also the environmental aspect. So it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing that, you know, it can heal me, hopefully, and also it's a win-win for the animals that I care about and the planet. So from there, I just began learning everything I could about plant-based nutrition, and I took different courses. I mean, I have done, you know, like I've said before, 1,000 hours on my own, just researching and studying what different foods do to your body, you know, why flax seeds are good, why, you know, I don't know, anything specific, like every single type of nutrition, like dandelion, I don't know. I'm obsessed, and why it works for the body, what it does, what different illnesses it can help, you know, alter. And I found my new calling, you know, and it's, I always say this, that I went down a rabbit hole, but I did. Once you go down the rabbit hole, it's like, you don't want to come back up, you know? It's like, I'm just going to stay down in this hole. It's great. And then hopefully everybody else will come with me. Everybody come on in. It's warm in here. And here I am today. I mean, that did take some time. I mean, I also, like I said, with the emotional and psychological aspect of any illness, that has to be addressed. Like, you can't just do one or the other, and you can't just do one thing either. Like, just, I'm just going to eat super healthy, but I'm going to be stressed out. Well, that stress is not going to help. So what I did that helped me was I went plant-based. I got chiropractic care, which is a whole nother story, and we'll save it for another podcast. Started back exercising. So like just getting the lymph system moving and moving out toxins and stale blood and all these kind of things. So yoga, I also rebounded, which is one of my favorite things ever. Rebounding is jumping on a trampoline, and it sounds kind of silly, but it is one of the most effective ways to get your blood moving. It was actually NASA who started this, or started researching about it with astronauts who were coming back. They, you know, were losing so much bone mass and muscle mass. So in just 14 days of someone being out in space, they would lose as much as 15% of their muscle and bone mass. So scientists were looking for a really good way for when they came back that was low impact and effective for them to get fit and regain that bone density. So rebounding, I think, is one of the greatest exercises that everybody needs to do. It boosts your lymphatic system, which obviously improves your immune system. It's great for cardiovascular health. It's easy on the joints, and it actually boosts your synovial fluid. So, you know, when you're getting older, and not even when you're, I mean, any age, you know, it's going to be really healthy for your joints. It can also help with your balance, improves digestion, and then, like I said, it increases your skeletal bone mass and can actually reverse osteoporosis, because that little tiny bit of stress and from the G-force, you know, the jumping up and then bouncing back down, it helps that stress rebuilds your bone mass. So, and it's a great stress reliever and it's fun. I mean, it sounds really silly, but, so I bought a mini trampoline on Amazon. I still try to do that a couple times a week. Lately I have not been doing it as much. I'm going to try to do it today, actually. But yeah, I mean, I just bought, I mean, it was like $40 on Amazon. They have these really fancy ones that you can buy. It's called a Bellicon, but I don't think that's necessary. I mean, I've never been on a Bellicon. It might be some magical thing that will change my rebounding experience, but they're like $500, and pretty sure I'd rather spend that $500 on something else. And my one $40 Amazon one works just swell. So I rebounded in yoga. I was going to therapy. Like I said, obviously I was plant-based, but focusing on, you know, certain macronutrients, but not obsessing over it either, because I think that, you know, when you are obsessing over every tiny thing that you put into your mouth, well, that's going to have, I mean, even if it's possibly a great food for you and a superfood or anything, that negative stress level can, you know, void all the positives, I think, of the food. So for something, for a food to be therapeutic, you have to be in the right mindset for it, you know? So I think just obsessing over people who obsess over calories or, you know, counting their macronutrients and their carbs and all that, I mean, that is just a recipe for disaster. If you were eating whole food plants, grains, legumes, fruit, vegetables, you do not have to think about those things. You do not have to think about what you're putting in your body and if it's the right ratio and blah, blah, blah. So that is also, you know, a huge relief for anyone, I think, if you were wanting to go plant-based, because you don't have to obsess over these things. There's no need to, you know, and that's not healthy to be obsessing. So plant-based, exercise, therapy, I was focusing on a lot of nice teas. I mean, these are things that I, you know, obviously still do. So, it was just a combination of a lot of things, right? Food, exercise, meditation. Again, I am not the best at meditating right now, but these things come in waves. And so I try not to beat myself up about that either, right? I mean, I'll get back on the wagon for meditation. But even just meditating for 5 minutes, they've shown of the impact it can have on your health. So just because I haven't been sitting down and meditating for 20 minutes every day, which I would love to do, but I haven't. Even if I can just meditate 5 minutes, I feel like that is only going to help me, you know? So that's pretty much my story. I mean, that is pretty much the shortened version. You know, I talked about the pain that I was in, but I also I lost like 20 pounds, a lot of muscle mass, and I got down to 85 pounds, which is really, really skinny. I was not absorbing any of my food, or any nutrients. So, I mean, that alone was scary. I was losing my hair, like my hair fell out. Like I said, I wasn't absorbing any nutrients. I mean, I was basically malnourished, I would think. And the inflammation in my body was just exploding, and it was super scary. You know, for somebody who has thought of themselves as a, you know, quote unquote healthy person and fit. I mean, I've always been the same size. I have been active my whole life. I played sports in high school, and I mean, just my ego in general just got slammed down, you know, of everything I thought I was just like gone. But with that, you know, it's just like the lotus flower, something blooms from the murky waters, right? And that's kind of what has happened. I feel like I'm so thankful, really, of what happened to me, because I would never be where I am today. And I'm so passionate about this lifestyle and really promoting it and trying to help others, because when I got sick, I found out there's so many other people who are suffering and people weren't talking about it, really. I think that's changing. I hope people are opening up more and trying to search for other, you know, methods of healing, because there are other answers. You know, drugs are not the answer. I mean, getting to the root cause, that is all what functional medicine or holistic medicine is finding the root cause of your issue. What is happening? Why are these symptoms even occurring? And let's fix it. It's like having a faucet running that's overflowing in your sink and then coming up and just using a mop to mop it up. Well, why is it overflowing? You need to turn the sink off. You know, that's one of my favorite metaphors for that, or analogy, I guess. You know, I would love to write a book about this one day, because I think, you know, my journey and where I am now and sharing that story can help others. You know, I mean, this is how you help other people, is by sharing your story, because there's somebody out there who might have gone through what I went through, or have a friend that's gone through that. Or, and even if it's not the same illness, perhaps you've gone through these horrible trials and tribulations. I mean, I literally wanted to die. Like, when I say that, it's hard to even imagine that when I think of my life now, because it has come full. I mean, it's like 360 totally. I mean, I would wake up. I didn't even want to wake up. It's like, I didn't want to get out of bed, because now I'm going to be awake having to, you know, think about my problems and then obsessing over them, which was unhealthy. And you can spiral down, right? You have to catch your thoughts. If your thoughts are all negative and you're just telling yourself negative things, it's hard to get out of that. And I know it all too well. I've been there. But it was a very horrible time. I was afraid that I would never have a normal life again. And that fear kind of still is in the back of, I mean, it's like PTSD. I mean, I still have some of that. And I'm not going to say that I don't. Like, when something that traumatic happens to you, I mean, yeah, I've been to therapy, and I actually should be going now. I mean, I love therapy. I think it's great. But I need to find a new therapist. That's the problem, I think, too, that people have, is finding somebody that you really, really connect with. I did like my therapist well enough, but not that well. You know what I mean? So yeah, I would love to find a new therapist. If anybody has anybody good recommendation in Mount Pleasant, shoot me a message. But as far as digestive disorders in general, there were other things that I was incorporating. L-glutamine is an amino acid that helps rebuild the intestinal lining. So, I mean, there were other things that I was doing specific for my ailment, just as the same as when I have nutrition clients and wellness who do my wellness program. You know, we look at what their imbalances could be, and then we help, you know, focus and hone in on specific foods or specific herbs that will help, you know, will help nurture and facilitate healing for that specific illness. So I am doing wellness program clients now. It is really exciting. I have several clients that I'm working with now that it's just so rewarding for me to, you know, have been able to take what I have learned and my experiences and all this time and knowledge that I've gained and use it in a positive way to impact other people's lives. So shoot me an email if you are interested in learning more about that. I am offering, it's about 40% off right now for new wellness program clients. There's different things that I offer. So you could do a 12-week program. I really encourage that, because I think for you to really see the benefits, you know, it's good to have a support system and accountability for a longer period than just like a couple weeks. But I do offer also meal plans. So with that 12-week program includes meal plans. But if you just wanted to do meal plans, I do offer that as well. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about really fast, which I just learned about, and that is the medical community that we know today. So I don't know if y'all have ever thought about this, but I have. You know, being in this community of quote-unquote alternative medicine at this point, I'm like, how did it get to this place? And how did we get to this spot where pharmaceutical drugs, synthetic drugs, are so revered and are pushed so far, you know, and doctors are really encouraged to prescribe all these drugs and know nothing about nutrition? How do we get here? You know, what was the process? Well, I just recently learned about that and am blown away. So when you think of Rockefeller, what first comes to mind? Probably oil, super wealthy. Well, Rockefeller was clearly all about monopolies, and he was all about money and cornering the market in his favor. So John D. Rockefeller was an oil magnate. He controlled 90% of the oil refineries in the U.S. and by the turn of the 20th century. through his company Standard Oil. So what does Rockefeller have to do with the medical world? Well, in 1910, scientists discovered petrochemicals, which petrochemical is a substance obtained by the refining and processing of petroleum or natural gas, which is totally in his, was in his world, obviously. And he realized that with these petrochemicals, he could make drugs. So he took this and saw a perfect opportunity. One of the reasons why, or the best thing about petrochemicals is that you can patent and sell them at super high profits. You can't really do that with the dandelion plant, can you? Which dandelion is one of the most powerful healing plants on the planet, which literally can heal cancer. I mean, it has, but you can't patent that and you can't make a bunch of money off of it. So, but with drugs, you can. You can make the margins here are pretty much endless. And obviously we've seen this now with the whole EpiPen ordeal that happened a couple years ago. And I know someone who was having to get injections, biologics for her autoimmune disease, and her insurance was literally getting billed $70,000 a month for this injection. That's insane. And she was having to get multiple ones. Okay, so back to the story here. So at that time in the United States, kind of the gold standard was natural healers. They were just, that was what people used. That was what was popular at that time. So natural healers, herbalists, naturopaths, chiropractors, they were extremely popular in the U.S. and widely used. In fact, almost half of the doctors in medical schools in the U.S. were practicing and learning about holistic, what we consider holistic medicine now, which this knowledge came from Europe and the Native Americans. So Rockefeller went to his friend Carnegie to basically devise a scheme, and with the prestigious Carnegie Foundation, they sent a man named Abraham Flexner to go around the country and report on the status of medical schools and hospitals. This is what is now known as the Flexner Report. So under the guidelines of Rockefeller and Carnegie, Flexner went around to all of these different medical schools and hospitals, and basically if those places did not fit the requirements of Carnegie's foundation, Rockefeller and Carnegie's foundation's standards, and were not pushing these petrochemicals and drugs to their students and doctors, then they were demonized and most of them closed. So half of the institutions in America at that time closed, medical schools or hospitals closed at that time. But if you were pushing these drugs that, like I said, they own, these patented drugs that they owned and chemicals, then your institution would get large amounts of funding. So at that time, they also started one of the biggest smear campaigns or propaganda campaigns that has ever existed for alternative medicine, really pushing the narrative that, you know, anything other than these drugs was snake oil and woo-woo, you know. And, you know, even these, you know, methods that have been practiced for thousands of years. So even at that time, if you didn't prescribe to their, you know, thought process and pushing drugs for specific ailments, they literally put doctors in jail. People got put in jail because of this, you know. I mean, it's almost, it's just insane to think of. So, you know, I am not discounting the advancements that we've made in modern medicine, but there needs to be a balance. There is a place and time for it, but for most illnesses, they can be prevented and many can be reversed through lifestyle and diet change. We are living in a toxic world with toxic foods, and we're just living out of alignment with nature and, you know, the natural way that we should be eating and living. I think we can all agree that, you know, the medical world in general has just gone off its rocker. There is actually a book about this whole thing that is called, it's on Amazon. I kind of want to buy it. It's called Rockefeller Medicine Men, Medicine and Capitalism in America. It goes into all the history and the story of it, but it was written in 1979, the book was, and the introduction, which you can read the introduction on Amazon, it talks about the state of the medical world and medical care in 1979 and how outrageous it is. So in 1979, health expenditures in this country topped $200 billion. So for every man, woman, and child in this country at that time, they were spending nearly $1,000 a year on medical care. Today, we spend over $3.2 trillion on medical care. So that comes out to about $10,000 per person, man, woman, child. And we are the sickest country in the whole world. We spend more money than every other country. Literally, we're number one. Woohoo, we're number one. Oh, not for a good thing. We spend the most money on healthcare, but are one of the sickest countries on the planet. So something's got to change. We need to realize that pill in the bottle is not your answer. Yes, maybe for a little while, you know, it'll make the symptoms kind of subside. But again, it's not getting to the root cause. We cannot rely on drugs. We need to just get back to our old way of life of eating whole foods and, you know, not being so stressed. And this go, go, go society that we have in America is just so unhealthy. It's absolutely so unhealthy. But I think it's shifting. If you're listening to this, I mean, heck, it's definitely shifting, right? There's podcasts out there, tons of them, about living healthy and getting healthy and not taking drugs. And I know that there are lots of doctors out there who really do care and want to help heal their patients. They just don't have the tools to do so. I mean, we really need to change the curriculum for our medical schools. They need to have more than 20 hours on nutrition because that is the max that they get. There's only 20% of the medical schools in this country actually even offer nutrition courses. And of that 20%, they only get a max of 20 hours. That is just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So there's some crazy information for you. If you just Google Rockefeller and the medicine, I mean, basically just medicine, I think a lot of stuff will come up. This has kind of been pushed, you know, kind of pushed under the rug. I mean, obviously there's way more details about Bayer and things like that in the 1800s, but this might be my like new thing, my new history thing that I want to learn about because I love history. Art history was my minor, but I basically focused on like ancient history because I love it. Anyways, I hope that y'all learned something today. I hope you learned something about me. I am an open book, so send me any questions. I hope that, like I said, I hope it helps. And I'm just so grateful for each and every one of you for listening to my podcast. And as always, if you would be so gracious as to subscribe, that would be awesome. And even more lovely or equally lovely, I don't know, you can leave a review so that, like I've said in the past, it helps with SEO. So if other people are searching for this podcast or about holistic living, plant-based foods, those kind of things, they'll be able to find it. And if you're finding value from this podcast and my website and recipes that I make, then you can send me a little tip with TipLink. So TipLink is a platform that allows web visitors to tip money. So you can tip $5, $10, whatever. This can be helpful for any industry. So if you have a website, if you are an artist, a musician, a writer, an author, whatever your kind of website or business is, I promise this could work for you. Or if you're providing a service of some kind and, you know, it's just a way to generate some more money. And those who are you know, into whatever you're doing can give you a little boost. You know, if you're enjoying whatever, if they're enjoying whatever you're producing, you know, why not be able to just tip somebody $5? Like, I think that's a great thing. So check it out. You can check it out on my website. There is a little button that is in the bottom right-hand corner that looks like a little coin. So you can click on that and it'll bring up a little pop-up that you can learn about it, and obviously go to tiplink.com. So check that out, and thank you so much for listening to me and my story and following along. And be sure to check out my Instagram at The Refined Hippie and my website. I'm uploading some new recipes this week, so definitely check that out. And until next time, my friends, peace and plants.